Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Seth Green, and you are listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark, and I am so hot, I would desperately like a glass of water. Please, please, give me some water.
This is Cindy Preston, and I'm with Mark on Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Melissa Peterman from CMT's The Singing Bee and the television show Reba, and I have to tell you, I just have to get it off my chest, I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi there. This is Faith Roscoe from General Hospital. You're listening to Mark on Somewhere in Vegas. And you better watch out. We know how to find you if you're not listening.
Hi, this is Shannon Egan from Whippet, and I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hey, this is Lee Allen Baker with Somewhere in Vegas, talking with Mark with a Q.
This is Courtney Cronin. You're listening to Somewhere in Vegas with your host, Mark, and I would make sure to listen every week because he's a sure bet.
Hey, this is the Money Man, Eddie Money. I got two tickets to Paradise, and it's, you know what? It's Somewhere in Vegas. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Hi, this is Crystal Kale, and I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Terry Nunn from Berlin, and you're listening to Mark Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Miracle Laurie from Joss Whedon's Dollhouse. There are three flowers in a vase, and I'm listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Erin Hill, and you are listening to Mark on Blog Talk Radio and Somewhere in Vegas. Mark is a great guy.
Hi, this is Sean Pulaski. I'm still trying to figure out Mark Pico's sexuality, but I know you're listening to Somewhere Live in Vegas.
Here you go, Mark. I'm sorry. I thought you were she. I'm sorry. Get out of the tent. Let's get out of here.
Hey, this is Lance and Anna from Free Radio. And Anna?
And you're listening to Somewhere in Vegas.
Yes.
My favorite.
You know, that's usually what happens with me. I go to Vegas and I get lost, and so I end up somewhere in Vegas.
Somewhere in Vegas.
But I just don't know where it is.
Not quite sure.
Yeah, word.
Get ready. It's going to be hot. It's in Vegas. Check out Mark. Be there or be square.
Welcome to a special edition of Somewhere in Vegas. I'm Mark the Q. I'm your host. Our interviews from the Sundance Film Festival continue with two women making waves in Hollywood as producers. First, we will talk to Jamie Nutella, who is the founder and executive producer of Blue Eyed Pictures. She started the company back in Japan in 1998 as an industrial film and commercial production firm, and soon found herself going global. With offices in Hollywood and London, she has helped produce commercials for several major automotive brands for the Super Bowl. The company has recently branched out into feature films with the releases of Chilly Christmas with C. Thomas Howe and Tom Arnold, and Opposite Days starring Ariel Winter and Pauly Shore. In our interview with Nutella, Nutella talks to us about her upcoming year and thinking globally in terms of new media. First of all, Jamie, you know, what's it like being back here at Sundance, getting that experience again?
I love it. It's my 17th year here, and it's really changed a lot since the first time I've been here. It's a little bit more bigger, obviously, more commercial, more advertising people are here. You know, more movies are pre-sold. And I'm so excited. Two movies that opened last year are being nominated for the Oscars. You can't get much better than that. So I'm excited for the vibe.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very important event in terms of being a filmmaker. You've been a longtime filmmaker. The ability to make connections in terms of actors, of producers, of distributors as well. How is it for you to have this kind of resource at your disposal?
Gosh, well, you know, my company, Blue Eyed Pictures, is mainly a commercial and multimedia company, and we are just launching our film division for our directors that are on our roster. So for me, it's an exciting time. I pretty much, because I've been coming to film festivals for a while now, I pretty much have the relationship already with the international distributors. So it's interesting to me to see what movies they're buying and what is selling right now. You know, we're at a really strange time in the movie industry as far as independents and studios and what's being made and what's being sold, you know. So for me, it's fantastic to have that disposal, to have those relationships, and to sit on the forefront of what people are talking about buying.
Yeah, now, like I said, you're a longtime filmmaker, and I mean, how have you seen the evolution over your past 15 years of filmmaking and doing commercials and doing media?
I mean, it's been a really interesting time in terms of where media is going, where new media is now than it, when it does when it first started. Tell us a little bit about that as well.
Well, you know, now there's no traditional way to advertise. So you have all these different forms of social media. So you have YouTube stations. You have, you know, now instead of the rap doing something, now it's video footage. You know, you have live streaming going on of concerts and films and interviews going on for Sundance. The Sundance channel has grown immensely and is starting to, you know, create their own channel, obviously. So they have these, you know, different ways to advertise now. So in one sense, in advertising, it's creating more jobs for people, and it's also, you know, everything, you have more access to things. Instead of Googling everything, you know, now there's Sundance apps, there's Cinnanon to Sundance, there's, you know, all the different forms of media and advertising. People like yourself or journalists like yourself who are here doing a lot of coverage over what's hot and what's not.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta kind of have to stand out, and before the crowd, because I mean, you know, everybody's in the spirit of wanting to be a filmmaker, and you know, obviously, like I said, you have so much experience behind you as well. I mean, you know, well, how has it been for you, first of all, to transition over from commercials and documentaries over into the feature film realm?
Well, it's been a pretty smooth transition for me. I've been lucky enough to have great supporters and produce some fantastic movies, you know, coming out. You know, some of them go, you know, right to Redbox. Some of them go straight to DVD. Some of them are theatrical release during the holidays. It just depends on what the project is. But for right now, where we are and what's happening here at Sundance, it's interesting to see that there's this whole other world. If you look at, even before the movie starts, the whole new Sundance, you know, logo, and sort of, you see all the advertising people who are sponsoring the festival, and there's this whole other world of advertising crossing over into film, which is interesting because film doesn't usually cross over into advertising, but advertisers always cross over into film. So you see tons of these products everywhere, from Acura to HP, Bang & Olufsen is here, like you have SoulCycle and Pure Bar and all these people that you would never really see attaching themselves to features or to independent films, which I think is fantastic. It only helps finance the independent films and get their name out there. So it's like guerrilla advertising and branding all together.
Now your company has offices in Tokyo, London, and in Los Angeles as well. I mean, you know, having that global reach is obviously something that does help you in this as well. You know, what does it mean to you to kind of be an international company right now?
It means everything. I don't think anyone just does business in the United States anymore. I look at companies that are global or worldwide, and if you're not getting the jobs in the States, you go abroad or vice versa. And there's so much production knowledge everywhere right now. So being a global company has helped us. We were founded 18 years ago. Our first office was in Tokyo, then London, and then Los Angeles. So we already had the international relationships. I was more successful abroad than I was here. So it's interesting coming back. I flew back on 9/11 and started my company and partnered with BBDO, which was an Omnicom, you know, in the Omnicom family. And I was their in-house company for 9 years. So it was an interesting time. But right now, I think, you know, it's the perfect time to be global. People are so much more open to production knowledge and cultures and filming outside the U.S. And there's so many great tax incentives everywhere. So it's a really great time.
I mean, a lot of filmmakers have to think globally. I mean, you know, we can't just, you know, cater to the U.S. audience, but obviously international audiences as well. I mean, and obviously that experience gets you know, you have a lot of that experience in change, basically, from that as well. I mean,
Now when I'm looking for scripts, right, and I'm looking what to produce, I'm looking what buyers are going to look for. I'm like, oh, well, that project might work well in Tokyo, but it's also going to do well in sales in Korea and the U.K. Like, how can we cross over into those markets and see what they're going to buy? So I definitely think from a world perspective now when I'm trying to create something.
Yeah, I mean, it's really great to be able to have that opportunity opportunity. I mean, what can we look forward to over the next year from you, you and your production company?
Well, actually, I might be going to China for about 6 months to work on a project there for a local Chinese television station and then produce a film there. So I can't say the name of the film yet, but it is something that you're familiar with. So that's probably where we're going next. This is the first year we haven't had something in the Super Bowl, but we're looking forward to doing a Toyota shoot in March of this year. And then we're doing something for Hyundai as well. So we're kind of known as the car producers, so we have a lot of car accounts on the West Coast. But in the film world, we're hoping to get our project off probably by April and start filming in China. So, okay. And you'll be the first to hear about it.
Well, I'm absolutely happy about that. I mean, considering you have a relationship with car companies, it would be interesting to see some of the feature films with some of these cars in it, because it just makes absolute total sense that you know how to shoot cars, and it would be great to be able to see something like that. So fingers crossed you come across a script like that.
I definitely, you know, it's funny, I try to put like Toyota into cars, Scions specifically, because I work on Scion and I'm working right now with Hyundai, so I'm trying to get their brand out there more, and you know, it's interesting, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, you know, but a definite crossover, and we're at a really interesting time right now, especially with independent studios and advertising more and more. Look at Cannes Film Festival. Cannes Lion, which happens a month later, is become a bigger festival than Cannes Film Festival. There's much more advertising dollars, there's much more money and products behind it, and more people are going. So it is an interesting time to see across the world.
Yeah, you know, I will look forward to it. I mean, it's going to be an interesting year for you. I look forward to seeing more of your films coming out over the next couple of years as well. I know you're trying to branch that on there as well. Anything else you want to add?
Gosh, well, 2015 is going to be a great year, and you know, I'm looking forward to a great Sundance. Hopefully we'll see some new movies at the Oscars next year.
Yeah, and I hope China works out for you. I mean, it's a growing market, and obviously you're starting to get to that point where, you know, I mean, there was Chinese cinema, but it seems to be coming, there's a resurgence in it right now, so hopefully there's
a lot. So much opportunity in China right now. It's an enormous market, not just for creativity, but also you could have a film here that you've done and you could rebrand it there, you know, to remake it for their culture. I mean, there's just so much potential and so much advertising dollars that are going into the Chinese market right now, which is interesting. I speak and read fluent Japanese, so for me, I'm starting to learn how to, you know, read and speak Chinese. And the people that are there are just incredible right now. And like I said, for Americans, a lot of opportunity and a lot of new relationships to meet.
Well, like I said, I look forward to everything like that as well. Your website, are you on Twitter or on Facebook?
We are. The website is www.blueeyedpictures.com, BLUEYED, pictures.com. And Twitter and Facebook, it's Blue Eyed Pictures.
Well, we'll look forward to that announcement, and we'll definitely talk to you sometime this year, hopefully when you make that announcement. And best of luck to you going over to China.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Our other interview today is with an accomplished actress and comedian, Janae Allswager. Having shared the screen with Adam Sandler, she has branched out into producing, having worked with Stephen Dorff and Lacey Chabert. Her short film, The Ladies' Room, got nods at the Burbank Film Festival for both Best Short Film and Best Actress. Allswager was at the Sundance Film Festival to help support production partner Nick Rusher's Lilla and Eve, starring Jennifer Lopez and Viola Davis, and Beverly Hills Christmas, a Lifetime movie where she stars opposite Dean Cain. We talked to Allswager about her busy year and working with some A-list talent during her career.
First of all, how's the Sundance experience for you right now?
It's been amazing. We've only been here since last night, so we're really kind of getting the whole experience of Sundance and checking it out today.
And what's it mean to you to be here with the film and, you know, just to be able to see it here, premiere here versus any other venue?
Well, I've always been a big fan of Sundance, and if you can't get into Sundance and you want to go for Cannes, and it's just, I love the camaraderie of everybody out here and working together and really trying to promote each other's films. Nick Rusher is one of the main producers on the film, and they're doing a movement for 2015 that's Women in Film, and they're picking up my film, and I'm the creator of it, and it's this whole movement that we're doing for women in film, so I'm out here to support them and their movie.
Well, tell us a little bit about that, about the movement, a little bit about why you're here, and kind of getting the opportunity to be able to speak here.
Yeah, it's a really, really huge honor. I got nominated at the Burbank International Film Festival for Best Actress and Best Film. With that, The Ladies' Room, which was the short, got picked up by Nick Rusher, who is doing Live in Eve with Jennifer Lopez, and it's a whole movement that we want to do in 2015 with empowering women, and I'm second on deck for my film. But I'm also here promoting Beverly Hills Christmas. It's going to be on Lifetime, and the cast and crew are here, and we're really excited about that too. So,
yeah, it seems like you're really, really busy. I mean, you know, how's it been for the past year? Obviously, it seems like you've gotten a lot accomplished in 2014.
I did. 2014 was it was a big movement for me as a producer. And getting, you know, I'm doing reality, scripted shows, and feature films, and then also acting on the side. But it was an honor to be nominated at the Burbank International Film Festival, and it's an honor to be picked up by Flick Films, which is a branch of New Line. So I'm really blessed for this year coming up.
It seems like there is a really big movement, and over the past 10 years we've seen this, of women making their way up. And breaking the glass ceiling, becoming producers, becoming directors. You know, tell us a little bit about, you know, where we are right now, especially here at Sundance. It seems like there is a outreach for female directors and producers as well.
Yeah, it's a big thing that I'm trying to do this year with women in film, and I think 2015 is going to break that barrier with allowing women to really do the forefront with producing, you know, raising, financing, acting, and really like capitalize on what the talent women have. And you know, Jennifer, thank God, is, you know, going in the front load and taking charge. And this film is, it's an honor to be working with them.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, have you met Jennifer at all before? This will be your first time?
It'll be my first time. I'm really excited about it. There's been so many wonderful actors here, too, like at Sundance. It's been just walking the streets, you can meet so many wonderful people.
You've had so many great opportunities over your career. You've worked with some really, really great major films as of late. What does it mean to you to really start working with a lot of really accomplished actors and also work with some new actors?
It was the biggest honor when I was executive producer for Slightly Single in L.A. There was Lacey Chabert, and I was working with Stephen Dorff, and I'm a big fan of Stephen Dorff. And to be, you know, to be hiring them and them to be on my set and to be working with them. And I've worked with Adam Sandler. I've been in three of his films. And you feel blessed, and it makes you want to work harder, and you want to get up every day, and you just want to, you want more. It's you get addicted to work, which is exciting.
Well, what do you like better? Do you like producing dramas better, or do you like producing comedies better, or is there a difference?
I love comedy. It's, you know, I used to do stand-up. You know, I'm a UCB alumni, and, you know, I have a series called News Wars, which is based off of Anchorman, and it's comedy. So that's my baby, and hopefully someday that gets picked up, but my heart is in comedy.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to be able to hear that as well. I mean, when was the last time you were on stage?
Probably about 3 months ago at the Laugh Factory. It was fun. Being a stand-up comedian is, I give them so much, like, it's just an honor to be up there. It's a hard job. And the fact that they could do it every day, make people laugh, I mean, I respect them so much.
Okay, since you're a comedian, I get to ask this question to you. Have you ever bombed on stage, and have you learned from that experience?
I didn't bomb on stage. I just got, you get nervous when the crowd like won't laugh, and you don't know if it's the joke or if it's the lead up to, but you just got to go with it. And luckily I haven't yet, and I don't hope to in the future. I'm sure I will, but
yeah. If there's any wood to knock on, actually, I think we're standing on some, so I'm going to knock on like that. that doesn't happen, because you're one of the rare ones. But, I mean, it's exciting to be able to see some success going on with you right now. It looks like you have a loaded plate coming up this year as well. Any other projects you want to mention? Anything else?
Yeah, American Family Cook-Off, I'm really excited about. It's my first picked-up reality show. It's got Rocco DiSpirito as my host. I'm teaming up with Millionaire Matchmaker producers, Matthew Kroll. And it's a competition show with food, and I can't say any much more about it, but I'm really excited about getting into, you know, major network TV.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of all over the board. You're producing. You're making yourself a pretty good powerhouse right now as well. I mean,
this is my year.
This is your year. Yeah. It's one of those breakout years that you always want. You know,
right.
Exactly. So when you leave here, you're pretty much going to have to hit the ground running, pretty much.
Well, that's you hope one day you get there, and when you do, you just run.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's absolutely great to hear that you're doing so successful as well. I look forward to all your projects this year. Definitely when those projects start to get rolling, we'll definitely get you another interview.
I really appreciate your time and the interview, and I look forward to seeing your write-up on it. Thank you.
Next week, we'll wrap up our interviews from the Sundance Film Festival with veteran actor Rob Steinberg this coming Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. At our usual time on Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, we will talk to Stan Houston, who is a part of the cast of the Oscar-winning film Selma. To listen to our archived interviews, you can go to vegaspodcasting.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at SWIV, that's at SWIV, or Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook to get the most up-to-date announcements on who will be our guests in the coming weeks. We'll see you next week on Somewhere in Vegas.